Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, this is Magsy from Radio Techers, and Chris has asked me for my thoughts and opinions on the recent European Super League debacle. He actually asked me to record this yesterday. And I kind of held off, mainly because I was actually quite busy, but I'm actually glad that happened, because we got to a situation where we got some finality from the whole issue. So basically, from my point of view, what happened is that a group of 12 of the elite level clubs in terms of revenue decided to break away from the ECA, the European Club Association, to form a league of their own, where they would not be eligible for relegation, where they would be able to secure their own sponsorship and TV deals. And I've been a football fan for all my life, 40 years essentially, and make no bones about this was the biggest attack on the fabric of football in my life. I saw a lot of comparisons with the Sky Premier League deal of 1992, and to be honest, I think whilst there are similarities, there's enough differences that makes those kind of comparisons a little bit short-sighted. When we go back to 1992, the whole issue was around the same kind of topic. It was all about generating money, but there was never an attack on the competition of football. Essentially, the Premier League created a new level in the pyramid system that we have, where a team can make it to the top division, and if all the cards fall right, and with a little bit of luck and some skill and just any club can become the champions. This European Super League, it didn't have that situation, because the 12 founding clubs were not eligible to be relegated, so their place in this league was guaranteed, which it goes against everything that football stands for. The fact is, in the Premier League, in La Liga, in Liga 1, Serie A, any club with a bad run of form and the right results can get relegated. We've seen it with some huge teams. I mean, Man City was relegated a couple of times in the 80s and even into the 90s. We've seen teams like West Ham bounce up and down between divisions. Norwich, 4 times in a decade, coming up and down the divisions. This European Super League would have stopped that. And for all the posturing and pandering they did to the fans regarding it being for the sake of grassroots football, and that European football needed to change, it's absolute hogwash. The fact is, European football is the most lucrative football in the whole of the world. The money that these clubs make for being in these competitions is astounding, absolutely astounding. Like I said earlier, this was 12 of the 14 biggest clubs in terms of revenue, wanting to keep that revenue to themselves. And that, whether you are a fan of these clubs or you are you hate them with a passion, that revenue filters down to your club. Through Europe, all the leagues, the money that these clubs generate filters down to safeguard the grassroots of football, to make sure we're getting the stars of the next generation, and making sure that clubs don't go bust, and we still have that conveyor belt of new talent coming through. This was an affront to that. This was an attack on that. I am a Burnley supporter, so I was I'm not a fan of one of these big six that came from England. But this European Super League would have affected my team, because it would devalue the TV deal that Burnley are currently enjoying with the Premier League. It would have devalued the chances of big paydays from these six teams coming to Turf Moor and selling out the stadium. It affects every team all the way through the league. There would have been little chance that a team could draw one of the big six in an FA Cup and have a tie that could potentially set that club up for a decade in terms of revenue. This was a very, very selfish act orchestrated by one man, Florentino Perez, the president of Real Madrid.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As we know, a lot of clubs have been affected by COVID, my club included. I suppose your club, whoever's listening, has also been affected. But Real Madrid announced that they've lost around 500 million in revenue because of COVID, which meant they are currently sitting on 900 million of debt. Now, the problem that I have with this is, if you as a club have large amounts of debt, you should be changing your business plan and your transfer dealings and your way of generating income to service that debt. What you shouldn't be doing is stealing the revenue from all other clubs to cover yourself. And that's essentially what this was about. This was about taking European money, domestic money, and hoarding it to themselves to cover their own backs. This is why Barcelona was so quick to jump in, because Barcelona, again, another team in massive amounts of debt. Andrea Agnelli, the president of Juventus, was also the president of the ECA, a group that is designed to protect the 200 or so clubs that compete in Europe on a regular basis. And whilst he was working with UEFA to reorganise the Champions League and putting his input in and signing off on these changes, he was also duplicitously creating this league. And this hasn't happened overnight. This has took months and perhaps years of these teams working together behind the scenes to disrupt the fabric of football. Andrea Agnelli is a massive snake, and I'm so glad that he's decided to step down from the presidency of Juventus, because he's a stain on football. The same with Ed Woodward, another person who looked at the president of UEFA in the eye and said, "We agree with the changes," and in reality was working behind the scenes to screw over the rest of the footballing world. And these words from me are not an attack on these clubs. the attack on the owners of these clubs. I have no real love for Man United, for Man City, Arsenal, Tottenham, any of these teams. But I know that the majority of people who work for these clubs had no idea what was going on. This was a group of six owners wanting to keep the money for themselves. Thankfully, because of fan power, because of player backlash, and I've really got to single out Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, Stan Collymore, Jordan Henderson, James Milner, and Jurgen Klopp and even guys like Marcus Rashford and Bruno Fernandes for having the bravery to highlight this on social media, highlight this in interviews, because these guys were thrown in at the deep end. The faceless owners didn't have the balls to explain to us fans what they had done and why the decisions had been taken. They left it to these people to come out and face the music on their behalf. And fair play to all those who said, this isn't right, this isn't fair, we're not happy about it. The guys at Leeds with the shirts, fair play, much respect to them. Patrick Bamford coming out and saying that he dislikes this. Petr Cech facing a mob at Chelsea because Roman Abramovich was hiding behind the office curtains, sending out Petr Cech to quell this mob. I mean, this is the guy who you can't hate. No matter what club you support, you have to have a lot of respect for Petr Cech, for what he achieved in the sport and what he went through whilst in the sport. And to send him out as the face of this, and to face that barrage of anger, because essentially that's what it was. People were angry. I've never seen in all my years a group of fans from totally opposite clubs with years and years of hate for each other and kind of rivalry. I've never seen them come together as one. And if there's one thing that these 6 and 12 owners have done, is they've united football, and that is a good thing. We've slowly realised can claw this power back from the club. The fact is that the Premier League has become the most lucrative league in the world. European football is the most lucrative style of football in the world. And these people have come into the clubs as businesses, not through love of the club, not through passion for the area, not through the community. And there's a saying been going around on football social media that football was created by the poor and stolen by the rich, and it's so true. It really is true, and we've all essentially been complicit in that, because we've wanted the best players for our club, we've wanted the big names, we've wanted the success and the trophies, and we've essentially turned a bit of a blind eye to these people coming in and funding that, without really kind of understanding their end goal from this. We saw backlash with the Glazers come in at Manchester United, and I think that was a turning point for a lot of football fans to understand that maybe these new owners are not the saviours that we think that they are. Fortunately for us and for football in general, the British clubs, the English clubs were the first to see the error of their ways, whether that's through fan backlash, whether that's through player and managerial staff showing their disgust and their dismay with their owners. Maybe it's through the fact that sponsors were getting involved and were not happy. Who knows? But the English clubs led the charge in destroying this idea from within. That's not to say that these owners are free of blame. They absolutely would have carried this out had they been able to ride the storm of the backlash, had they been able to ignore the threats of expulsion, the fan backlash. But they didn't. I still believe that these teams should be punished in some way, whether that's through fans, whether that's through expulsion from European competition, whether that's through dock points or expunging of records, who knows. But one thing I will not back is those being expelled from the league, because as much as we hated this situation, the Premier League needs these clubs. These, like it or not, are the draw. These are the teams that pull in the foreign domestic viewing numbers. These are the teams that the big TV deals are surrounded against. Without the likes of Man United, Arsenal, City, Tottenham, Chelsea, all in this league, the value of the TV deals goes down, and that affects the other 14 clubs. So I'm not a proponent of excluding them from the Premier League, but I do believe the owners need some sort of sanction. I also believe that this has been a big warning to maybe we need to change the way that clubs are owned. I think there needs to be sweeping reforms in the fit and proper ownership system. I think there need to be more links to the clubs being owned by their communities and by the fans that built these clubs from the ground. I'm a fan of the German style of 50+1. Whilst it may not fit perfectly in with the ethos of the Premier League, I think we can certainly take segments of their system and fit it to where one single person or one single entity doesn't have complete and unilateral power of a club, because this has been a shock to the system, the fact that six clubs had that much power over the Premier League and over European football, that they felt that they could break away and hoard the majority of the TV money for themselves, because they were looking to secure huge deals in China, huge deals in East Asia, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi. They were looking to secure these massive TV deals for themselves. It's as simple and clear as that. Luckily, we've been able to fend it off now. But if we don't do something as a community, as a footballing world, this will rear its ugly head again. These clubs will feel strengthened by this. They'll just take the more necessary steps to make sure that everything is in place legally, that the owners can face off the barrage of backlash and carry on with this clear impunity. Football needs to change, and I hope that this is the catalyst for it. Anyway, you've listened to an old man yelling at the clouds. Again, I want to thank Chris for the opportunity to say this. And if you want to follow me on social media, it's at DJ Kirby. Like I said, I'm on a podcast called Radio Techers with my good friend and American Tanner. So come and check us out. That's at Radio Techers, and we generally do watch alongs on YouTube every weekend of a Premier League or an important game. So come and check us out. Thank you very much.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.